It's Podcast The Yearbook. I'm your host, Doug. That's all I got. There's been a lot of talk about why NASCAR's popularity has plummeted. Now, it wasn't that long ago that NASCAR was ascending big time. It was going to be the second or third most popular sport in the nation. It was going to rival baseball. And then it all came apart very quickly. And the debate of why everything came unglued and so quickly is a fascinating debate, trying to find the reason or reasons. Now, we haven't covered a NASCAR race in a while, but a while ago, you would see everyone at NASCAR races. Every demographic was there, and they all loved it. Now, they may still all be there, but there are definitely plenty of empty seats at the races for whatever reason. No one can agree on one big factor. But if NASCAR is struggling, what of IndyCar? And IndyCar's long off-season comes to an end this Sunday with the St. Petersburg race. IndyCar open-wheel racing is loaded with the same kind of personalities that drive people to Olympic coverage, but that doesn't drive people to IndyCar coverage. NBC, which is in charge of driving people to Olympic coverage, is now also in charge of driving people to IndyCar coverage. They could start anywhere. Someday driver Will Power, real name, should have a movie made about him. What with him drumming with huge bands, drumming with small bands, drumming at an NBA game, loving rap, his incredible reflexes and his background. Or they could start with Zach Veach, who, despite a lot of non-believers, has relentlessly pursued his dream of driving in IndyCar. Veach is small in stature, but he climbed the ranks steadily through IndyCar's minor leagues, only to hit a ceiling when it came to securing sponsorship money so he could turn pro. It was not for lack of trying, but it was a month before the 2017 Indy 500. Veach had finally exhausted all of his options. As a last resort, Veach asks his pastor if he knew anyone the driver could contact about sponsorship. According to the Indianapolis Star, the pastor did know someone. An IndyCar driver and a big-time CEO shared a church without ever meeting. Maybe someone sat in the back or didn't go that often. This podcast is at best, actually it is the second best, at best the second best podcast, second most popular podcast in our own church. And if we unearth anybody else who has a, this guy has graphics and he has guests. If we unearth any other podcast in the church, that's going to be the end. I mean, we're already second, and that's only because we only know of two. Anyway, they shared a church. So the pastor sets up Zach Veach with the contact information for this CEO, and Veach emails Dan Tauris. They hit it off. And just days later, Veach had the money he needed to race at Indy, which itself was just days. Well, a month away. That became a deal where Tauris' insurance company helped Veach secure a three-year contract, and that became a deal where Tauris' firm just signed on as the Indy 500's primary sponsor. All because of Zach Veach, who, by the way, looks strong at the end of last season and won't even be 25 until long after the last race this season, and his pastor. P.S. As part of the new sponsorship deal with the Indianapolis 500, Mark Miles, who essentially runs IndyCar, told the Indy Star that it got tiring talking about the series being positioned for growth and positioned for growth over and over, and now IndyCar actually is growing. That sounds like those I give up type quotes you hear from coaches that are always troubling. And hopefully this is the year IndyCar does not designate James Hinchcliffe as the funny one. And at the local Target, the Scott Dixon in the Pringles aisle, the Scott Dixon Target Pringles racing poster is still up. It has not been removed. What's it been, 2 or 3 years now where Scott Dixon has not driven for Target, has not driven for the Target team? So I don't know whether Target owes Scott Dixon money or Pringles owes Target money or Scott Dixon owes Pringles or Pringles owes Target. I think we covered that one. I'm not sure who owes who. In our continuing weekly series, apparently, because we keep doing it every week, of debating the historical merits of sports scenes in movies. If you've seen 2014's Let's Be Cops, you've seen Ryan O'Malley, character's name, watching highlights of himself playing quarterback at Purdue. That scene in the movie has been described as a fantasy sequence, but O'Malley's last-second 27-yard game-winning touchdown run against Michigan State was actually 2007 real-life Purdue quarterback Curtis Painter's first quarter 27-yard touchdown run against Michigan State, which did not really factor much into a 48-31 loss to the Spartans. Well, we ruined it.